All right, so we're beginning NTI 1 Corinthians, which is on page 287. Is that true for everyone? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So here we go. You, who are reading this now, have been called into my service. This is why you continue to read. Now I will teach you in order to help you in your acceptance of your role as my holy servant. So this is pretty interesting. We're on page 287. And basically what Holy Spirit is saying is, if you've made it this far and you haven't put this book down yet, you want to be here. You know, this is your heart's calling. Otherwise, you would have lost interest a long time ago. So this is your heart's calling. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you to really let go of any resistance you have to your heart's calling and help you to embrace it fully. Verses 4 to 9. I am grateful for you and your willingness. Already your helpfulness to healing has been more than you imagine, and yet you are just beginning this path with me. There is so much more to do, so many more wonders for you to see and accept. You are truly a glorious gift unto yourself. I thank you for your undying willingness to heal. So again, not only does being at page 287 say that we want to be here, but also, you know, there has been some work that's occurring. And of course, everybody that's in this room knows that. You know, there has been some work that's occurring within our own minds. And the work that you've been doing within your own minds is helpful to everyone. And so Spirit is expressing gratitude for the work that we've been doing up until this point. It's not perceived as a little thing. You know, we may be sitting here with our ego mind saying, I still don't get it. You know, I still have this raging ego. I'm still this super judgmental person. I still have a lot of fears. I'm, you know, we're always focused on, you know, our lack of progress. And Spirit's doing exactly the opposite. Spirit's saying, you have no idea how helpful you've been with what you've done so far. It's true, there's still a ways to go. But what you've done so far is really, really helpful. Thank you. Yeah.
If you think you're not getting it, you're wrong. You are getting it.
Yeah.
If you think you're not doing it right, you're just being too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You are doing it right.
That's right. That's right. Verses 10 to 17. You may seem to be led into relationships with me where one may seem to have a leadership role and one may seem to be a follower. Do not be confused by what you see in form. Each one who walks with me, doing easily as I ask. One day he may seem to lead, and one day he may seem to follow. With some he may appear to be leader, with others he may appear to follow. But all appearances, regardless of what they may be, are within the realm of perception. The realm of perception is the realm of change. So cast not your eyes upon the realm of perception, judging what seems to be the circumstance and form. Remember that my servant is one who walks with me, and so he is one who walks with you also. And you, as one who has accepted himself into my holy service, walks with your brother too. So what this whole paragraph is really about is seeing equality, seeing sameness, seeing everyone in the same light. So whether you appear to be the leader right now, you know, helping others who maybe, you know, don't seem to be as far along as you or do not seem to be as clear as you, you know, Spirit says that is just appearance. That's not at all the reality of it. And in fact, my personal experience is that the clarity that I get from teaching is incredible. So if there weren't people who were willing to be the students, I wouldn't get the clarity. So there may be the appearance of the teacher helping the student, but if it's true that the student is waking herself up through teaching, well then, aren't the students helping the teacher? Isn't it a reciprocal relationship? Right? And so that's what Spirit is saying, is that all ideas of one being the leader and one being the follower are not true. Everyone is playing their part perfectly. And everyone is helping each other. You could say we are awakening together, right? And everybody is where they're supposed to be. Everyone is helping everyone else. The term the Course uses is that we're all mighty companions. So don't get caught up in the idea that you're the student or that you're the teacher. We're all equal servants of the Holy Spirit. And we're just playing our roles, and our roles shift and change. Verses 18 to 25. Huh? I taught this week too. The ego is still within your mind, and it may seem to persist for some time. This is not to be cause for concern for you, but it is to be acknowledged, and you are to remain aware. For if you do not remain aware and alert to the ego in your mind, you may forget to question your thinking and believe you are listening to me when you are not. If you remember and remain aware of the ego in your mind, you can continuously question your thinking and seek for the reason you hold. As my servant, you will desire to hold to right reason, and so where you recognize it, you shall hold it dear. When you do not recognize right reason, you shall choose to let your thinking go and continue to wait for the reason and guidance that comes from me. So this was really my Sunday night teaching this week. The teaching was that sometimes as we become more and more and more clear, what happens is that we can honestly notice, you could say, how clear you are compared to how you used to be. I mean, you can see where you know you would have been upset, or you know you would have been scared, or you know you would have been judging, and now you're not. You can see where before you would have been confused, or before you would have struggled with a decision, and now you're clear and you're trusting, and you know that you'll know what you're supposed to know when you're supposed to know it, and you don't worry that you don't know it yet. I mean, you notice these differences. You can't help but notice them. And so what sometimes happens when you get into this period that is so clear by comparison to how you used to be, there's this little idea that kind of shows up that you can relax now. And by relax now, I mean, stop the practice that got you here.
I can take it from here, God.
That's right. I can take it from here, God. I got it now. That's right. And if you do that, that's when you stop practicing discernment. You stop looking at your thoughts and saying, is this ego or Holy Spirit? You stop questioning, and an idea does come in, and pretty soon you're thinking about whatever, and you're off on a detour because you stopped being discerning. And my personal theory, I don't know this for a fact, so I'll put that out there. My personal theory is this is what happens to some of these teachers. You know, we hear lots of stories all over in all traditions, not just this tradition, all traditions, about teachers who seem to receive a certain level of extreme clarity. The things that they are able to teach, the experiences they're able to share about are profound because they were a very sincere student for a very long time and they went very, very far. But then it seems like what happens is they forget to be aware that there's still some ego here. And they stop, they start getting, maybe puffed up in their clarity. And they start then believing all of their own thoughts again. And pretty soon ego comes back in. And this is where we get these stories about these people who are extremely clear on the one hand. And then on the other hand, they're, telling their female students that you'll be enlightened if you have sex with me. Or they're taking money away from everybody. Or they're, really power hungry or something. It depends on the personality, but something, some very big ego there, and they don't even see it themselves. And that's because they got to this point where it's kind of like, okay, I'm clear now. I got it now. And the practice that got them there stops. So what this paragraph is reminding us is no matter how much progress you seem to make, no matter how clear you seem to be, remain aware that you have a split mind. And you can, if you want to remain aware, that's actually not difficult. I mean, you know, you can be really clear and you can still see those little ideas show up. You may not be buying into them, but they're showing up. And if they're showing up, that means there's still ego there, right? So you just remain in a very humble, non-judgmental way. Ego is still here. I have to continue to be alert. I have to continue to want the truth more than anything else. You know, there's not a doneness here. And if you just remain honest, it's actually not hard. In fact, it's much easier in that phase than it was earlier when you were just starting, right? You just have to keep it up. But it's not difficult. So that's what Spirit's saying. Be aware that you still have a split mind, and it's probably still going to be there for a while, even though you're also very clear. Okay, so verses 26 to 31. Your self, and this is the little s self, is to be given to me now, that any self that is not your truth may be left behind. Choose not to cling to yourself as you perceive yourself to be. Choose instead to lay yourself aside and become like an empty shell. That which is emptied shall be filled by me, and one who is filled by me shall know his own fullness. So what this paragraph reminds me of is Mother Teresa's saying, I'm a pencil in the hand of God. That's what he's really asking us to do. He's asking us to surrender completely, you know, if we can do that. Just to surrender completely, just in effect want to be nothing other than moved by God. You know, like I said, I'm just a pencil in the hand of God. And if you're ready for this, if you're truly ready for this, it's like the most beautiful thing you can do for yourself, and you'll feel that. It's just the most beautiful thing you can do. And so I think that's all I have to say about that. Unless anybody has questions about surrender. Some people love it, some people hate it. So. Okay, then why don't we go on to chapter 2, shall we? As an empty shell, you are filled by me. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. Lay down yourself in service to me, that you may serve me and come to know yourself. So the reason probably that some people hate surrender is because they perceive surrender as a complete sacrifice of who they are. Right? This is saying that's not true. This is saying if you will lay down who you think you are and surrender to me fully, what you're going to discover is that I am you, right? So it's not a complete sacrifice of who you are. It's coming to recognize who you are. It's the exact opposite. Verses 6 to 10. That which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become as an empty shell, is also revealed to the mind. And as the scribe, I'll tell you the word mind here meant everyone, the whole, right? It didn't mean this personal mind, it meant everyone. So that which is revealed to you as you become the empty shell is also revealed to everyone. That which is revealed to the mind is useful in the healing of God's Holy Son. In laying yourself aside and willingly becoming as a shell, you offer yourself to be useful in holiness. That to which you offer yourself is that which you are. In laying yourself aside as an offering of grace to holiness, holiness in its grace is offered fully to you. So this is really, it's using words to try and say there are no brothers or other people. It's not saying like she doesn't exist and I do, which is how some people take it. What it's saying is my existence, her existence, his existence, right? It's all the same existence. Every single person that you perceive as an other has the same existence in them that you have, and that existence is one. So what you do for another, you do for yourself, you know, which is very common saying. We hear this all the time. What you do for another, you do for yourself, because literally the existence that is animating that body and the existence that is animating this body is the same existence. There's no such thing as an other. And so if you surrender yourself, you know, into service to the whole, you're serving yourself. You know, as I serve Dave, I'm serving myself, because that existence is what I am, right? You're totally in service to yourself. And as you are in service to yourself, you're going to come to know yourself better. And you know, there will be many, many teachers that will teach that surrender and service are one of the best ways to wake up. Now, there are other ways to wake up, too. But that is definitely a path of awakening, and there are many teachers that will teach you that that is the best way to wake up, is just to be in service, be in service, be in service. Do you have anything to say, Dave? No? Okay. Okay. You had an expression there, so I wasn't certain. Let's see. Where am I? 11 to 16. This is a short chapter. That which has opened itself to the Spirit of God by becoming an empty shell has made a statement unto the mind that is its own. It has said, I know I am not this thing I thought I was, as this thing cannot be my truth. So I put aside that which is false, that I may be open to receive only that which is true. So this is saying something else also happens when we choose to surrender. If we really choose to surrender, it is because, to some degree, we know we aren't the personality self. Again, those people who are really fully attached to believing that they're the personality self usually do not want to surrender, because they feel like they're having to sacrifice themselves. So if we are willing to surrender, it means we don't have full belief that this personality is who I am anymore, because we aren't sensing a sacrifice, right? And so whenever we surrender, what we are also doing is saying to ourself, and also to everyone, since there's no separation, I know I'm not that. I may still partially believe I'm that personality. I may still partially believe I'm Regina, but I don't believe it wholly. Because if I believed it wholly, I wouldn't be surrendering. I wouldn't want to surrender. That would be a sacrifice, right? So it's kind of a communication that we're reinforcing within ourselves and also reinforcing within the entire mind.
So in a way, it helps what appears to be everyone else to make a choice toward truth as well.
Yes. Yes. When that which is false is put aside, and that which is true is received and accepted, the mind listens to its truth. In its own memory, it recognizes itself, and to itself, it bids itself welcome. So the more that you are, you know, not fully attached to your own ideas, your own opinions, your own everything, right? And surrender actually calls to you more than what you would have called your ideas, your plan. You want me to move, Dave? You can see.
No.
I can just move.
I'm going to.
Blinded by the light. That doesn't really help. I'll move. Let me just sit here. There, because I was right in it. So now I'm not in the light anymore. The more that you are willing to say, you know, okay, I don't need my opinions, I don't need my ideas, I don't need everything else, I would rather surrender to you, right? The more that you are able to do that, then the more that you are starting to accept who you truly are. And in fact, in my personal experience, in the beginning when I surrendered a little, and by that I mean I was willing to surrender in this topic and this topic, but not this topic, right? So I may have surrendered fully in the things I surrendered in, but there were other things I was holding back, okay? When I surrendered a little, that's when I still believed really that I was me, but I was kind of feeling a calling to God. And so the calling made my heart want to surrender somewhat, But the attachment to me made me not want to surrender everything. Does that make sense? But as I surrendered even those few things, I learned how much better surrender actually worked than my own thinking would have. Right? I learned that when you're surrendering, there is some kind of grace. There is something the universe bends to help out. I mean, I learned. And so as I learned, then I wanted to surrender more. So then I give up something else and say, okay, I surrender this. And surrender was kind of a phased process for me. But every time I surrendered, I learned more that the whole universe is supporting me when I surrender. And things happen, you know. People show up that, you know, I never could have made it work that way. And so you surrender more, right? Because you're learning from the positive reinforcement. At some point, it doesn't feel like surrender anymore. Because the idea that you were the one that was surrendering dies. It doesn't feel like surrender anymore. You become one, or you realize you are one, with the will that you used to think you were surrendering to. So the idea of surrender eventually kind of disappears as you just become in the flow of that which you once perceived yourself as surrendering to. So you really do come to know that will as your will, and you're just moved by it. And people call that being in the flow, but it's very easy at that point. You know, again, it becomes very, very easy. So that is the end of chapter 2 already, so I will leave it up to you guys to decide whether you want to stop there or go one more chapter. Dave wants to go on. Anybody object?
No.
No? Okay, one more. Here we go. All right. NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, remember that the ego is still in your mind and be aware of it. In that way, you may remember to set that self aside and open up to the true self. So even as you're getting in this phase where this, you don't feel like you're surrendering anymore, it's very easy, you're in the flow, that doesn't mean you can stop paying attention. Because ego is still there, and if you stop paying attention, ego could come back. So it's kind of funny, it gets easier and easier and easier, which does make it easy to forget the practice that brought you this far. But Spirit is reminding us again, don't, you know, stay with that same practice that brought you this far. Sentence 3. Practice will seem necessary before you are ready to set yourself aside and not pick it back up again. Do not worry. I will give you your opportunities to practice as you are willing. So be willing to set yourself aside. As much as you are willing, I will give you circumstances for practice. So again, this is Spirit saying that in the beginning, being completely surrendered to me is not going to be natural. And it's interesting because completely surrendered to me does not just mean, going out and doing something particular that you're being asked to do. Being completely surrendered to Spirit means letting Spirit guide you in what you think, you know, letting Spirit guide you in how you respond to your husband or your coworker. I mean, it's talking about everything. It's not just, some people think of surrender as, oh, I'll have this special function, you know, and that will be my surrender. But then when I get home, I'm still going to yell at my kids, you know. when Spirit's talking about surrender to me in everything, it means everything. Like, one of the last things that I actually surrendered, one of the things I held back for a while, was raising my daughter. Because, you know, it seemed like that was my job, I guess, and I don't know if I fully trusted Spirit to tell me how to raise my daughter. When I finally surrendered that, Spirit did guide me to raise my daughter differently than I was. A lot differently. And in fact, it was even scary at first. I think I thought that Spirit was wrong and I was right. But I surrendered the way that I raised my daughter, and I start letting her make choices where I wouldn't have let her make choices, but that was my guidance. There were times when she was very disrespectful to me, and like the old me would have come back at her and told her not to talk to me that way and put her in her room or done something. Spirit just had me do nothing. No, I wasn't raised to let a disrespectful child be disrespectful, but that was my guidance. Spirit was absolutely right. If you knew my daughter today, she is so good.
She is.
She is so good. Today she went out and mowed the lawn without being asked. She's 16. You know, well, I did ask her like a couple days ago, but even I forgot I asked her. And she remembered, oh, that's right, Mom asked me to mow the lawn on Tuesday. And she went out and did it, you know? That's because Spirit was right. Spirit knew how to raise a child. And Spirit knew things like if she was being disrespectful to me and then I got in there with her, we were just ping-ponging ego. If I didn't get in there with her, she's the only one playing ping-pong. How long can you play ping-pong by yourself? Not very long. So then she just has to drop her ego because there's nobody feeding her. You know, there's nobody playing with her, right? So that's what this guidance was all about. So in the beginning, again, we're only partially willing to surrender. And Spirit's like, well, that's okay. I'll give you practice where you're willing. And then you will learn from that, and then you'll be ready for more, and I'll give you more. And it's okay that you're not ready to fully surrender yourself immediately. Give me as much as you will, and we'll use that. And then you'll give me more, and then we'll use that. And again, it's kind of a phased process for most of us. Verses 5 to 9. Walk with me in your desire to practice, and I shall walk with you. According to your willingness, you shall be given opportunities to practice, as everything that is done for you and by your willingness. Your willingness to practice will match with your brother's willingness to learn, so he may be brought to you and you will be given your opportunity to practice. In this way, everyone is given by me according to his willingness, and the light that reaches into the mind is received through the mind's own willingness to receive it. So again, there really is no sacrifice. Because Spirit is saying, you're not going to be asked to surrender any more than you are willing to be asked to surrender. And anybody that comes to you that appears to need your help, whether you're helping them as a teacher or whether you're giving them financial aid or inviting them to live in your house or whatever, they're also in their willingness at that point to play that role. Like, everybody is right where they're willing to be. Nobody is being asked to be somewhere where they don't want to be. And so, and these willingnesses create matches. You have a person who's ready to give money, and you have a person who has a need and is willing to receive money, and they're matched. You have a person who is ready to teach spirituality, and you have a person who is ready to learn spirituality, and they're matched. So everything is matched, and everything is in perfect harmony always.
For, here's a question.
Yes.
You say that everything matched. But what happened when you want something and you don't find the other part?
Yeah, well, that's
ego?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know if I can answer that completely because I'd probably have to know more details. But for lack of better words, there is a wanting that is like more of a soul, a deeper wanting. And then sometimes there's like surface wantings, which you could call ego. So for example, you may think you want a relationship, to be in a couple, right? You may think you want a relationship and you're looking for a relationship and you're looking for a relationship and one is not coming. Your soul may be wanting you to realize you don't need a relationship to be happy. Okay, so sometimes your conscious wanting and your deeper wanting may not be the same. And when Spirit is saying everything is perfectly matched, it's talking about that deeper wanting of what's truly most helpful to your awakening. And so sometimes that's why we have to really learn to ask, what is it that I really want? Because we can have all these head things that we think we want, and they're not even what we truly want. We're not getting in contact with our heart, with what we truly, truly want. So does that answer your question? I can't remember. I remember once Laurent and I were having a conversation. I wish I could remember it. It'd be a great story if I could. But we were starting to have like a little bit of a disagreement there. And then we suddenly realized that the disagreement was only at the head level, that at the soul level we were perfectly aligned. And we both kind of realized it, and then the disagreement just stopped. And I don't remember the details. I'm sure it'd be a great story if I could. But it kind of reminds me of the Garth Brooks song. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Because sometimes we're praying for what we think we want, but it's not what we really want. I think in the Garth Brooks song, there's some woman he thinks he wants to marry. He really wants her, and like she has no interest. And finally time goes on, and he marries someone else, and then he runs into this other woman, and he realizes the one he married was much better for him than the one he thought he wanted, right? So.
But we had the homework about keep asking what it is I truly want. I think if we continue to do that, I think the Spirit will enlighten us as to what that people want really is.
Right. Well, and another example is before I got into all of this, what I thought I wanted was to be vice president at my company. That was the next step up. And I had read all the books about how to become vice president. And like one of the things was go ahead and start dressing as vice president now and volunteer for special assignments that a vice president would do. And, you know, I was doing all of this stuff and I really thought I wanted to be vice president. But then something in me started waking up and wanting truth, and I started surrendering. And instead I was guided to quit my job and to move to North Carolina. Now, what's interesting, I was guided to move to Albemarle, North Carolina, which I knew because my brother lived there. My personal opinion was that was the armpit of the world and the last place on earth I wanted to live. And that's the place I was guided to, right? But I was very happy the entire time I lived there. It was very quiet, and that's where I wrote both NTI and Inner Ramana. So now, with hindsight, I realize, did I really want to be vice president? No, I wanted to write NTI and Inner Ramana, but how could I have known that? Did I really hate living in North Carolina? No, it was the perfect place to live, but how could I know that? So it's almost like there's something in you that's wiser than what you think you want. And that's where the perfect match is happening, is at the wiser part, not the head part. The head part is just mental chatter. You know, there's nothing going on there at all, actually. It's just chatter. Okay, so this next one must be a mistake in my Kindle. Hopefully in your book it's right. I have verses 10 to 10. What do you guys have?
10 to 15.
10 to 15. So the Kindle, they made a mistake here. Your willingness is also the measure of your joy, for in willingness you serve your true desire. In resistance you deny it. To lay yourself aside is to give willingness to let go of false illusion. To cling to yourself and your thoughts and your fears is to cling to illusion and to hold on to what you do not want. Okay, so what this paragraph is saying is really important. This is saying that, first of all, you don't have to surrender if you don't want to. You all know that, right? But what this is saying is that if you find it in your heart, if you find your willingness to surrender, and you surrender, you're going to be happy. Because Spirit knows exactly how to make you happy. If you don't surrender, and you continue to believe the thoughts in your mind that say, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, you're actually going to be unhappy. So for example, if in my life when I thought I wanted to be vice president, if when that calling came for me to quit my job and to move to Albemarle, where I thought was the armpit of the world, if I hadn't surrendered to that, if I'd said, no, I don't want to do that, I do want to be vice president, I'd probably be in some high pressure vice president job suffering right now. You know, I'd get exactly what I wanted and it wouldn't make me happy. Spirit is saying, I know how to make you happy. You don't. And, you know, so if you surrender to me, the more you surrender, the more joyful you're going to be. At any point where you're not surrendering, you're doing things your way, you're running into your frustrations, your stress, your disappointments, everything else is there. And that's what you're going to continue to find. And again, it's your choice, but this is what you're choosing, right?
I have a question. You say that we have to surrender. What can I do it?
Yeah, how can you do it?
How can I do it?
Yeah, the best way to surrender is just to start surrendering right now wherever you're at. So, so like when you go home, okay, and I don't know what your life is like, so I'm just going to make up a story about your life. But let's say you go home and you walk in the door and your husband says something to you that immediately you start feeling yourself getting annoyed, like some old something starting to come up. You start surrendering right there, but you kind of ask within, what am I to do with this? What am I to do with this? Instead of going into whatever your habit might be, which might be to snap back or leave the room or whatever you do, you just say, what do I do with this right now? I feel an annoyance coming up. He's looking at me. He's saying this. What do I do? So surrender always happens in the moment in our everyday lives. You know, people, again, imagine surrender as something like, you know, well, like the story I just told, quitting your job and moving. But those things are more rare. You start by surrendering right here, right now, in your everyday life, with your job, with your family, with your, even how you spend your money. You know, Spirit will guide you in spending and not spending, both. Ego can also guide you in spending and not spending, right? Ego can make you hold back money when Spirit would have had you spend it, and ego can have you spend money when Spirit would have had said, you know, that's really not necessary. And if you learn to even surrender your spending, you're going to find that your financial life comes into some kind of harmony that doesn't even make sense at some point, actually, is the way I discover it. So you just surrender your normal, everyday stuff. One of the first things that I surrendered was my diet. I used to always, you know, count calories and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And at some point, well, the guidance came to let go of that and just start asking, what am I to eat? And that has gotten, you know, that's gotten really simple for me now in most cases. You know, I just, you know, in most cases, I open up a menu and something pops out at me. I walk through the grocery store. I grab stuff. It's time for dinner. I look, and now just everything comes. I used to sit down with cookbooks, plan every meal for the whole week, make a list, and go shopping from that list. It, you know, there was so much mental planning in the way I ate. It was ridiculous. Now it's just completely intuitive. Completely intuitive. So clothes. I used to walk into my closet. I used to think about who I was going to see today, what I wanted them to think of me, and then I would dress a certain way. Like if I was going into work and I was going to have a meeting with the CEO, I would wear a red jacket. If I was going to have a meeting with my immediate boss, for some reason I learned that I had more influence over my immediate boss if I wore black and blue together. So I would wear black and blue. If I was going into someone that I thought was threatened by me and I wanted to influence them, I would wear like flowers. I would soften myself so they wouldn't feel... I mean, I thought about all this stuff. I had to surrender that. I learned to just go in the closet, something would pop out at me, and I would just put it on. I let go of all of my thinking about what to wear, all of my figuring out, you know. So you just start in your everyday life. You just start wherever you start.
It's also accepting the present moment as it is would be another, you know, way to look at it, to add to that.
Yeah, acceptance. Always helpful. In fact, you can't really even, it's hard to hear guidance if you're not in acceptance sometimes too, because you're still wanting something that's not there. Sometimes if you accept, okay, he's mad at me, now what do? You can hear your guidance much more clearly than if you, I don't want him to be mad, I don't want him to be mad. There's like a wall you put up there, right? I don't want this to be here. Wall.
I read somewhere, I can't remember now, just recently about like, it gave it as an example of listening to another conversation, you know, like when we ask the Spirit, which like,
listening to that other conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't think we hear words, I just think we feel.
No, it's an intuition.
Sense.
Yeah, when you tell somebody else, you have to put it into words, but it's more of a sense. And you tune into it. The more you practice, this is what's also interesting. In the beginning, it might seem quite fuzzy and difficult. But the more you practice, the more you actually kind of tune in on it. Like you just start to become very familiar with that feel that is intuition. And then again, with anything, any other skill that you practice, it gets easier and easier and easier. And also, you learn just as much from your mistakes. So I always tell people, don't judge the fact that you made a mistake, because lots of times when you have this feeling to say something or do something, right, and then you don't, you do something else, but then you, with hindsight, can see how your feeling would have been a better choice. You say, oh, I did feel that. I felt that. And that kind of tunes you back into what did that feel like. Like, I did feel that I shouldn't have said that, or that I should have said that, and now I can see why, right? And you start learning what that feeling feels like. You learn the difference between that feeling and your head story. And after a while, you start listening to that feeling more than your head story. So your head's still saying whatever. You're like, yeah, but I can really feel this one. And you just start following it. Sentence 5. Release yourself to your joy. Give to your capital S self by laying your little s self aside. In this way, you'll remember more of that which you want, which, see, your soul wanting. You'll remember more of that which you truly want, and your willingness to give of yourself will grow. Remember your true self as I have taught it to you. You are eternal, beyond limits of any kind. And then notice your awareness as it seems to be to you. If you do not know yourself as limitless and beyond all fear, you maintain a belief that you are not what you are, that you are what you are not. Therefore, do not take off in your way, as your way is still illusion. Follow my way, that you may be led from illusion. So as you guys know, right now, one of the things that's happening in my life and her life is that they're moving here. And as far as we know, it actually could change. But as far as we know, Danielle is moving out from living with me and moving in with them, right? And I think you guys also know, because we've talked about this, that Danielle gives me a $650 a month rent. Well, that's $650 a month I'm not going to have in about a week or a month, in about a month, right? So if my mind was really worried about that $650, and if my mind was trying to figure out what am I going to do, or maybe even trying to manipulate the situation that we have now in order to make sure I held on to that $650, Spirit's saying, if you find your mind doing that, then, you know, really be aware that that is definitely ego. And do not listen to yourself. You know, if I really want to influence them that Danielle should stay with me, Danielle should stay with me, Spirit's saying, be wise enough to know that's ego, and do not listen to yourself. Just don't listen to yourself. And one of the best ways to learn to hear Spirit is to learn not to listen to ego. And ego is very loud. And ego has lots of stories, and ego has lots of angles. And so Spirit sometimes seems like you can't even hear it underneath all of that. So if you learn not to listen to ego, you say, I hear that, I hear all that fear, and I hear I want to influence this situation and blah, 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 right? But I'm not going to, I don't want to, because I don't want to listen to ego, I'm not going to. What happens as you choose not to listen to ego is ego actually grows weaker, because ego is fed by your listening to it. As ego grows weaker, guess what you can hear better? Spirit. Because what was seemingly covering up Spirit was all of that loud ego. So one way to surrender is just to not listen to that ego voice. You know, that's a perfect way to surrender. So if you If your mind is telling you that you are not limitless, and your mind is telling you you do have a reason to fear, that's when you should not be listening to your mind. Now, what my mind tells me about the Danielle situation is that it's going to work out. We don't know the how yet, but it's going to work out. Right now, there's, you know, a little bit of stuff going on, but it's going to work out. And then, you know, if she does move out, I don't quite know exactly how I'll do without the rent, but it's going to work out. So what's my mind telling me? It's going to work out, and then it's going to work out. That's not talking about, you know, that's just, that is kind of saying that I'm limitless, or that we're limitless, or that the world is all serving itself and everything works out. I mean, you know, there's no fear in that. So even you may not know how things are going to work out, but if you just have this feeling, it's going to be fine. All is well. There's nothing to be afraid of. Then you can listen to your mind. You see, the mind that is not afraid is the mind you listen to. The mind that is afraid is the mind you don't listen to. And so Spirit's saying, you know, remember yourself as I have taught it to you. If your mind is sounding like that self, listen to it. If your mind is not sounding like that self, do not listen to it. Right? So what have I told you you are? And then the last paragraph, then, when you know no more limits upon you, you shall also know what is limitless, which means that you have again learned to remember yourself. So again, as you learn not to listen to that fearful mind, and, you know, the more you do that, the more you do that, the more you'll realize the wholeness of what you are. Because ego is the only thing that's keeping you from knowing who you are. Believing ego is the only thing that keeps you from knowing who you are. So as you learn not to believe ego, you'll start realizing more and more who you are. It's that simple. So now, it's that simple. Did you hear how I said that? It's that simple. Don't listen to ego. It's that simple. You like that? No. It's that simple. It doesn't always feel that simple is why I'm saying something. Okay, so now we need an assignment.
Don't listen to ego.
Don't listen to ego. Here we go. We could say, yeah, pay attention this week and see if there is an opportunity. When ego is saying, you got to do this, you got to say this, but you can tell it's that fearful mind, it's trying to manipulate or control. See if at least once this week you cannot do what ego's saying. How's that? Once in a whole week. And you even get to pick the one you want, you're willing to take the chance with. So that's like an okay assignment? Let's see. We should have some interesting stories next week if everybody does it. Okay, so I will stop the recorder and we'll have a few moments of silence.